What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code, so it can strengthen any color. What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You want to get in? Now's a good time. 654-7627. I'm seeing a tweet now. Actually, Chris forwarded me this, and it's allegedly from Cornell Powell's Twitter account, and he retweeted the final score of North Carolina and Clemson. Yeah, again, I'm sorry. It's just there's no part of that that's appropriate. It's just no part.
That's from Cornell Powell's Twitter account, and that's just what he tweeted. That's all, just the score of the game,
and a photo of the final score. Yeah.
Well, he's just throwing worse on the fire there, or whatever.
Now, to be fair, he apparently did this, you know, sort of in that same time frame. It was probably done sometime after the game ended. It wasn't. It's not something.
So it's all okay. Right, okay. Just, so he's not going. I'm going to say this now.
Right. To be clear,
it's all the same.
Right. To be clear, that's not like his latest response
to the
negative feedback.
Oh,
right.
I see. No. Okay.
Texas says, "Wild man needs a week long ban for that nonsense." No, he's fine. He can call back. He's fine. You want to get in 654-7627. You know, I want to talk about the combine a little bit, and I want to start with this. Trayvon Mullen ran a 4.46, which is right where he needs to be. Mark Fields, by the way, ran a 4.37, which is obviously very good. Mark's going to have to connect some dots. That's certainly beneficial. And a big help, what he did at the combine. I mean, really opened some eyes. I thought that his Senior Bowl week was sort of a mixed bag. So he's still in the, you know, connecting dots process. But I think Trayvon Mullen is in the cementing what we know process. And that's why 4.46 for him for a big corner is exactly where he needed to be. That's right where he needed to be. And I think that keeps him very much in play as a potential round one draft pick. He's on that list of five or six cornerbacks that, you know, various teams will have rated in different ways on their boards. You guys can get in 654-7667 if you want. In fact, I'm coming to you in a minute. But Ramona, before we do any of that, I want to go back because remember when Trayvon Mullen, and again, I think right now, there's a very good chance he's going in round one. Very good chance. When Trayvon Mullen came in to Clemson, he was 160 pounds. And people were laughing about him. They were belittling him. They were making fun of that. Even Clemson fans were like, you know, what are we doing? I mean, he's 160 pounds. But I was getting it from South Carolina fans. Heavy. It was on my Twitter page from people who ought to know better. And I had a response to it. Ramona, This was, give me the date of this clip you're about to play.
It was February 3rd, 2016.
February 3rd, 2016. And this was as we were heading for the signing day special, I guess. And because that's where I made these comments, was part of that analysis. And so here's what I said about 160-pound Trayvon Mullen on at or on signing day.
But I want to start with a player that committed today, and that's Trayvon Mullen. I want to start with Mullen for a couple reasons. You know, I've seen some negative comments about Mullen on Twitter. I've seen some photos of Mullen posted on Twitter, which make it look like he really needs a college strength and conditioning program and some Milky Way bars or milkshakes or something. And he does need to get in a college strength and conditioning program. He does need to get stronger. There's no question about that. However, mark the tape, Ramona. This kid will one day be a top 10 draft pick in the National Football League. So that's what we'll start out with. I haven't heard a lot of talk about him, but I watched the available film on Mullen today, and Mullen is a true press corner. He is very smooth in the back pedal. He is he has great hips. He can turn and run. He is a legitimate 6'2". This is what the National Football League is looking for. The problem is you can't find 6'2" guys who athletically are good enough to press and move. They don't backpedal well enough. They don't flip their hips well enough. They just don't do it. So guys who are 6'2" and are true press man cover corners are almost impossible to find. That's what this kid is. So yes, he needs to get stronger, but I'm telling you right now, this kid is a true press man shut down corner at 6'2", and that is a rare, rare commodity. So for all the people sort of joking about Trayvon Mullen on Twitter, and I saw a lot of it today, you're not going to be joking long. You may think it's funny now, and those photos may be funny now, but they're not going to be funny for long. Because that guy's going to take a side of the field away. There's no doubt in my mind. That is a true press corner at 6'2", and those guys are hard to find. In fact, all the film I saw of him, that's what he was playing. He's playing press man. Trayvon Mullen is going to be a press man corner at Clemson, and he's going to play in the National Football League, too. There's no doubt in my mind. So, like I said, joke now, because you're not going to be joking for long with that kid. I see him as a future round one draft pick. He is a true press corner, press man corner at 6'2". And, all right. And I'm telling you,
you right know, now, and the point was that, you know, I thought he was, even at that time, signing day, when, you know, he was the subject of a lot of negativity. Even then, I thought he would one day be a round one draft pick. And we may be tracking right towards that. I think that, you know, the numbers he put up are supportive of that. No, actually, Texture 346, it's because the results say it. I guess you can't comprehend that. The results say it. Go check the standings. Golfer Bob. Bob, how are you?
Yes. Good. Well, I'm calling about the football team. I think we've got a great team, but I see one weakness, and that's a tight end. And with Williams going into the military, do you think they'll move somebody over there from the other side or from the offense? Play that blocking back or the H-back?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it is one of the key questions. You don't have that inline blocker element, and I'm not sure there is an answer, quite honestly. I don't know how they're going to handle that at this point, Bob. I think, you know, obviously the Galloway situation is very unfortunate because he would have provided you a Leggett-type option as a receiving threat. And I think a developing blocker. But in losing Williams, you lose a guy who's a really good inline blocker. And I'm not sure that you have an answer to replace that. So I think going into the season, that is one of the legitimate questions. And as of now, Bob, I don't have a good answer for you on that. I don't really think there is an answer. I think that, I think that we're just going to have to see that unfold and see how Clemson handles that, because Clemson wants to maintain balance in their offense. I don't think they want to throw it 65% of the time, even though you have all these weapons. You also have three really gifted running backs. And so I think they still want to maintain that type of balance. And I think it's important they do so. And the role of an inline blocking tight end is important in that goal.
You don't think there's anybody in the offensive tackles or the defensive ends they can shift over to that?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, I can guess at some things, but right now your guess is as good as that on as good as mine on that. I think it remains to be seen, but I do think that is one of the legitimate questions about this football team and how they will handle that. Did one of these guys, did Chalk develop? Is he going to be a better blocker? I don't know.
You think there's any chance William would come back?
I'm not sure of that either. I would also just be guessing there. I just don't know what to tell you about it. I would think not, based on, you know, what we've heard. I would think not. And so,
well, he's out there with him, but he's not in uniform.
Right. And so I'm guessing the answer is no. And as far as Galloway is concerned, I think until you hear something, I think you have to assume that that's a no, too.
No, that's what scares you. Okay. Thank you very much, Will.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Good job, Bob. Yeah. Again, that's why I think there is an issue with that position. Now, again, everybody has issues. Yeah, everybody has issues. And it may be that they find some answer, like Bob was suggesting, that you move somebody around. You know, that you move somebody around, Logan Rudolph. I mean, you know, it may be that Clemson has already proven that they can be innovative in goal line situations using defensive linemen. So, you know, I think it's reasonable to think that they'll look for some sort of solution in terms of an inline blocking presence if none of the guys who play the position can handle that role. Because again, I know people say, well, you know, you're just going to go to four wide receivers. You know, at times maybe, but is Clemson just going to be a dedicated spread you out four wide receiver team and ignore Etienne and Dixon and Feaster? I don't think so, because I think you have such balance that you want to play to both sides of that. So, you know, again, that legitimately remains a question to be answered. On the Mullen thing, you know, I think 4.46 at 6.1 plus, which is actually what he measured, is pretty good. And I think it keeps him right in the middle of that conversation to be a potential round one draft pick. The Clemson athletes really performed pretty well in the combine. I thought Cleveland Farrell was going to be a full participant, but I heard him interviewed right before the event began. He indicated that he would not, and I was a little surprised at that. But we'll learn what we'll have to later with Cleveland in that regard. But I thought Christian Wilkins performed well. Dexter Lawrence ran a 504, 506, whatever it was, 505, right in that range. And that's with an injury, which is just astonishing at 340 pounds. I mean, it's absolute insanity, almost an impossibility. And so I think he already helped himself. I think Dexter Lawrence has already helped himself in the process. Hunter Renfrow ran about what you would think he would have run. Oh, by the way, Huggins, I thought, performed pretty well too, and Huggins and Dexter Lawrence performed well in the bench press, which we've already talked about. It's not really a functional measure of football strength, but why it's interesting with Lawrence is that Lawrence has long arms, very long arms. For a long arm guy to do 36 reps, that's significant. Because again, the bench press is the realm of the short arm man, Mr. Potato Head. T-Rex, the bench press is the realm of the short arm man. And for a Dexter Lawrence with his arm length to push 36 reps at 225, that's almost insanity. So there's where it does matter, because it's an outlier. it's a positive outlier. And so Lawrence really did a nice job, really helped himself. Again, on Renfro, I think the 4-5-9 thing is about right where you would have expected him to be. He wasn't going to win in that area, and that's probably right where you would expect him to be. You didn't want it to be worse than that. You didn't want it to be 4-7. It wasn't 4-7. 4-5-9 is adequate. Where he did succeed is the short area quickness. The short area quickness, he succeeded. He was third amongst the wide receivers in three count. And so this is who he is, right? This is why he will have a long NFL career. Because there are teams who are looking for guys who can play out of the slot who have short area quickness, which fundamentally means the ability to change direction. The game isn't played in straight lines. Guys that are hard to cover are guys that can change directions. And Hunter Renfro can do that. So what Renfro gives you is, he gives you great hands, he gives you real short area quickness, and he gives you a guy who consistently works for his quarterback. Doesn't stop working. These are areas that he will excel in. And this is why he will have a long NFL career. It's why I'll have a long NFL career. Mark in Simpsonville says Renfro is quicker than fast. Right. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I think it's why, again, he will have a long NFL career. So I thought all those guys did a pretty nice job in terms of what they did at the combine. And I think Dexter Lawrence really opened some eyes and is now moving up. So there was sort of a bleed to Dexter Lawrence late in the year based on what happened. And I think he answered those questions, and I think he's now turned that around to his advantage. And so I think you're going to see a little bit of upward movement now with Dexter Lawrence. Stock up, moving the right direction. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627, Walt Tiptula Road Rage.
The Bojangler Fish Filet Sandwich is back at Bojangles. Get two for just $5.
Rely on EnviroMulch for your outdoor project. With all the rain we've had, they can help with rock crush and run along with 57 stone for your erosion, flooding driveway, and water pooling issues. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialist can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial 3.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
With over 8,000 certified pre-owned vehicles in their network, Henrik Honda Easley is ready to help you buy your next vehicle that will exceed your expectations. All their vehicles come with a warranty and your first maintenance included, and they even review repair orders with you to show they truly stand behind their product. Henrik Honda Easley wants you and your family to have a safe, reliable vehicle that you tell all your friends about. Check out their inventory at HendrickHondaSC.com. Again, that's HendrickHondaSC.com.
Toro's kicking off spring by offering huge savings on lawnmowers during the Toro Spring Sales Event at participating dealers. Save big with up to $1,500 off select models plus special financing for qualified buyers. Now's the time to get a new Toro mower and start enjoying unbeatable performance combined with huge rebates. Offers end March 28th, so hurry in now for Toro's biggest sales event of the year. Visit Toro.com/local to find a dealer near you.
Planning a spring break getaway? Well, with the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on any purchase you make today and every day. And those miles add up to get you closer to that trip to paradise. Every vanilla soy latte, double miles. Every time you pump gas, double miles. Even when you buy a set of Monogram beach towels, yep, double miles. You earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, and then you go. The Capital One Venture Card, the card that takes you there. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank, USA, N.A.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
This is what I'm talking about.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I seem a little mad, but don't you know that no life can always be an angel? And when things go wrong, I seem a little mad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage, we're to be CCP 105.5 The Roar. Texter had asked me, what's the all-time bench press record at the combine. It's a guy named Justin Ernst. He I don't think he ever really played in the NFL. He was out of Eastern Kentucky. And then Stephen Paya is a guy who has the highest mark that actually really played in the NFL. And he had 49. Justin Ernst, I believe, hit 50, I think. 50, 51, 52, somewhere in there. Jeremy, how are you?
Hi. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome in, Jim.
I don't know if you heard the news about John Curry being hired at Wake Forest. I'm a huge Wake Forest basketball fan, and I was curious if this is going to help our chances at all, as it's pretty abysmal right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it will. I mean, I don't know if there's a prevailing opinion about John Curry or not. It seems to me that there are people who, some people think highly of him and some that think not so much, but that's probably the case with everything in life. I think it can't hurt. I think
at least there's not billboards about firing him like Wellman.
That's true. I guess my first thought, Jeremy, would be, what do you think of Danny Manning?
I mean, I like the hire at first, but he's just been kind of a distant person to the fan base. It's like we're never engaged with him because he doesn't seem to really be there for us.
Now, that's interesting. So in what regard?
Back in Dino Gaudio and Skip Prosser days, they were always trying to do things with the fan base, trying to get us engaged. And, of course, that's like the highlight of Wake Forest basketball when I went to school, but it just never felt like there was ever an attempt to engage the student body from the people I talked to who went to the school and the alumni from what I heard from just trying to watch the game as well. And then, I mean, the talent we got never seemed to do anything besides transfer.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, I certainly think that thus far, Danny Manning has not met expectations. And you bring in a guy like Curry, and you wonder how long Manning really has left. And I don't think the answer is very long. I mean, what's the sentiment?
Well, I hope not. Otherwise, I don't feel good about Curry.
Yeah, exactly. So, what's the sentiment there? I mean, do you think that – are we talking about out at season's end?
From all my friends that we talked about after it happened, we're surprised he's still hired today. We thought it would be a Monday release that this was his last season.
How about that? All right, so has there been any conversation about the direction in the wake of a Manning firing?
There's some good people that were proposed, College of Charleston coach was the one that a lot of us like. Mm-hmm. But besides that, not really. I mean, we know there's not a great field out there, but it just feel like if we keep going with Danny, it's just not going to do anything.
Yeah, and you know, and Wake Forest obviously has a basketball tradition, and it's always sort of unfortunate to see them struggling to the degree that they are. So, yeah, I mean, I think obviously change is coming, and I guess sooner than later from what you're hearing.
I hope.
Yeah. By the way, Tester writes me and says Danny Manning doesn't act like a big fan base array type guy. And look, that's necessary. You know, it's part of growing your program. And maybe that's just not who he is.
Well, it's just, I mean, when I went to school, 30% of the student body was at every single basketball game, and now I watch on TV and there's nobody there.
Now, is any of that just a sign of the times, or you think it's directly related to bad coaching?
I mean, I would say, well, Bizdelic is what I would really say, but yeah. It could be, but it just doesn't seem as if he did anything to win over the fan base once he got the job. And we were really hoping he was going to be something, so.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, good luck. We'll see who the next coach is, because it does look like it's probably coming to the end for Danny Manning. I think the Curry thing can't hurt.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right, thanks.
That's a good job. Walt, where did that text go? Who's the most overrated player in this draft? How about give me two players? He's saying, where'd it go? He is saying Riley Ridley and Daniel Jones. Yeah, again, I think Daniel Jones is fundamentally overrated, because I just think that people don't get... I keep hearing the same ridiculous comments about Daniel Jones, and that's what concerns me from quite honestly educated people who are saying things like, you know, well, he played under David Cutcliffe, he's accurate, he's, you know, and again, they're just ignoring facts. He's not accurate. I don't know why people keep saying that. It's just fundamentally not true. He's a 57-58% passer the last 2 years after being 62% in year one. So he's actually declined in terms of accuracy. And again, he's playing in an offense that specializes in the short passing game. In fact, it's almost all they throw. He averaged 6 yards per attempt. When you're completing 58, 59, 60% in an offense in which you're averaging 6 yards an attempt, because that's the nature of the offense, that's terrible. That is not accuracy. And when he throws the ball down the field, he's not accurate at all. And so, yeah, I mean, I think fundamentally he's overrated, especially if we're talking about teams taking him in the top 15 or 20 picks. I mean, as has been the discussion. Terry says, well, not a Duke fan at all, but who would you take with one pick between Barrett and Zion, and give me player comparisons? I would take Zion, and I never would have said that before the start of the year. I don't think there is a good player comparison for Zion Williamson. You know, Sherron Wright threw Rodney Rogers out. That's been a name that's been discussed. I think Rodney Rogers is probably as close, when you consider the body type, the athletic explosiveness, the shooting touch, and Rogers may have actually had a better touch than Zion Williamson. I think that's the guy that is probably closest. The problem is, as explosive and as good as Rodney was, Zion is just like, you know, that tenfold. There's never been a 280-pound guy with a 45-inch vertical leap. It has never existed in the history of the sport. And therefore, it sort of renders all the comparisons moot. You know, the guy that in some ways he's like a Barkley. Now, Barkley is only like 6'3". He was always listed at 6'6", but he really wasn't. He was 6'3", 6'4", whatever he is. But Barkley was an incredibly naturally strong guy like Zion Williamson with and he was an incredibly quick leaper. He could pogo stick off the floor. Barkley would hit the floor and bounce. He'd go 3-4 times while other people stood glued to the floor. Zion has some of that in his repertoire. He has that same type of athletic ability. So he's sort of like a Rodney Rogers with Charles Barkley's athletic explosiveness. That's who he is. So there's not a direct comp for him because there never has been a guy like him. In terms of R.J. Barrett, and you know, I never got back to Zeke's question from the other day on a white comp. In terms of R.J. Barrett, you know, he has a unique ability at 6'6 to get to the rim. It's impossible to level him off. He can get anywhere he wants. You know, body type wise and some of his athletic ability wise, he might remind you of a left-handed version of Kobe Bryant. The problem is he doesn't have Kobe's shot. And that's the missing ingredient in his game. He doesn't shoot the ball well enough from the perimeter to be as good as a Kobe Bryant was. And that's the area that he's really going to have to improve in. Texas said, I was thinking the same thing, Charles Barkley and Zion. Again, from a strength standpoint, from an explosiveness standpoint, that's the closest that there is. And then, you know, in terms of Kobe White and Zeke's call on this the other day, you know, I was thinking about all the lead guards I've ever seen in the history of basketball, and there just aren't any like Kobe White. There really aren't any. First of all, we've seen some bigger guards, but we've never seen a bigger guard that shoots it like he does, or that can back you off like he does. And I was thinking about all these great guards throughout NBA history and a possible comp for White, and there really isn't any. The guys that come closest in my mind would be like a Baron Davis or a Reggie Theus. Theus was a little taller, more like 6'7", and was probably more of a true off guard, although he played with the ball at times. And then maybe going way back, a guy like Terry Porter, who played with Clyde Drexler at Portland. But that's the best. There's not a true comp for White. There just aren't a lot of 6'5 lead guards in basketball history who can shoot the ball like he can at a young age. And he seems to just be getting better and better in that area. But for me, those are the comps. And Texter, I already addressed the Zion Williamson thing. I'm not sure what you want me to say. But when I look at White, I just think he's just so unique. He's just such a special player. He's so hard to level off, and he just does a great job of getting defenders off balance. You know, he gets you on your heels with his ability to dribble the ball and with his athletic explosiveness, and then he shoots it in your face, and you don't recover to the shot. So the only guys I can think of like that were Baron Davis was a little bit like that. I think Theus was a little bit like that, and Terry Porter a little bit like that. And so there's that. Texas White, where was White again in the game against Duke? Well, I mean, again, he's a kid. Everybody plays bad games. I'm not sure really what your point is. Would you expect him to play, you know, 30-some perfect games? No. I mean, it's the nature of basketball. You don't play great every night. And, you know, there are probably nerves involved in that, et cetera. That doesn't mean that White's a great player. there's not a team in the country that wouldn't take White. I mean, so you have to explain really what you're trying to drive at there, Texter 553, because I have no idea. David, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Walt?
Good, David. Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, I'm just Zion Williamson. Like, I was trying to think, like you said, who he's compared to, and I can't think of anyone like who's real specific, but I kind of think a little bit of a left-handed Lenny Bias. Wasn't the greatest deep shooter, but explosive jumper, strong, real physical guy. Could go to the rim, but not a great deep shooter. Just kind of get your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, you know, the problem is that Zion is so much bigger than Lenny Bias was. I mean, Lenny Bias was really sort of like a bigger version of Michael Jordan. Bias was about 6'8", and probably played at, when he was at Maryland, he was probably at like 220, somewhere in that range. But he had all the same skills of Michael Jordan in a bigger version. I mean, Len Bias is truly one of the all-time tragic situations, not just because we didn't get to keep him as a human being, as a person, but also as a player, because there's just no telling what his upside was. I think he would have been one of the greatest players who ever lived, and may very well have developed into a Jordan-like player in a bigger version. You know, Lenny Bias is one of the greatest natural talents I've ever seen. Ever. I mean, in ACC terms, you know, I think the two most talented players that ever played in this league were David Thompson and Lenny Bias. But Zion's just a different animal. He's like nothing we've seen, because again, he has that type of Bias explosiveness. You're right about that, but he has it in a 285 pound package.
Yeah. It's bigger.
Yep.
Hey, I got one other thought, Walt, if you have a second.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Cardinals getting rid of Rosen if they go after Murray? Personally, I think you got to. I mean, Rosen had no chances here. He had no running game, no offensive line. I don't think it's worth the risk myself. I think I stick with Rosen, at least give him a little more time. So maybe then he could at least get more form down the road if he doesn't. I don't know. I don't like it. I just want your thoughts on that, and then I'll take it off the air.
Thank you, David. Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, I would do it because I'm a big Kyler Murray believer, and Cliff Kingsbury is supposed to be a bright, innovative offensive mind. Well, then use Kyler Murray correctly, and I think he'll be rewarded. I think Arizona is almost a dead end for Josh Rosen. That offensive line's terrible. And they need better personnel around him. So Murray at least gives them a chance, because Murray's evasiveness, his elusiveness will help mask some of the issues that are at play in that offensive line that really hurt Rosen. I don't dispute anything you just said, David, in terms of Rosen was not in a workable situation. The offensive line was terrible. When Cole got injured, the rookie center, it got worse. When Christian Kirk got injured at wide receiver, there was no explosiveness. That's not a workable situation. I think Rosen could go somewhere else and have success. And it's also absolutely conceivable that a team could play two quarterbacks on rookie salaries, which is another possibility. And so you're not forced into anything. I mean, Arizona could draft Kyler Murray and keep Josh Rosen. And as you say, just sort of wait and see how it plays out. There's that option. They also can trade him to one of these quarterback-hungry teams. The Giants are a possibility. The San Diego Chargers, I would think, would be a real possibility. Rosen to San Diego makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know that that's a destination anyone's talking about. Let me tell you about Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232, 269-1232. There is no place like Gilstrap Roofing. They've done roofs for 80 years. Father-son business. It's just a special place. They helped Ramona. They'll help you. We get unsolicited testimonials all the time about Gilstrap Roofing. Take advantage of their free checkup. We've been hit with months of rain. You have no way of knowing the condition of your roof. Don't wait until your living room is raining. Don't. Take advantage of the free checkup. If there's something wrong, get it fixed. They have licensed insurance adjusters on staff. If there's nothing wrong, that's what they'll tell you. It's Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232, 269-1232. Looper, you're up first when we get back. Quick break.
This Wednesday, Brad Brunell and his Tigers hit the road for the last time this regular season as they travel to Indiana to take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in hoops action in hopes of bringing home a huge victory. Pre-game starts at 8:30 p.m. with a 9 p.m. first tip right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch every exciting minute on the flagship station for Clemson basketball, 105.5 The Roar.
Hendrick Honda Easley, located in the heart of the upstate at the base of the majestic Blue Ridge Mountains, the perfect location to cruise in your new Honda while enjoying panoramic mountain views. Just a quick drive from anywhere in the upstate, Hendrick Honda Easley's got the charming small-town feel with hidden gems to see and explore along the way. Escape the everyday at HendrickHondaSC.com. Experience the Hendrick Honda difference in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway. Hendrick Honda Easley, the shining light on top of the hill.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks. Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
S.H. Carter Development, Inc. is a family-owned construction and demolition company located in Greenville, South Carolina. The last name of Carter is directly associated with quality construction, and with over 50 years of experience, S.H. Carter Development, Inc. strives daily to meet the expectations that are associated with the family name. S.H. Carter is a licensed general contracting firm that specializes in demolition and roll-off container rental in the upstate South Carolina area. S.H. Carter prides itself on honesty and integrity to achieve a high standard of work. S.H. Carter, Inc.
For over two decades, Line-X has been unmatched in truck bed liner protection and is committed to providing what you need to customize your truck. Truck gear by Line-X accessories and vehicle sprays combine rugged durability and armor-like protection. Lifts, tires, and wheels bring it all together to truly personalize your pickup to fit your lifestyle. Don't just protect it, Line-X it. Stop by Line-X today and see what's possible.
This is David Chupp. Come see me or my son Trevor at Line-X of Anderson today.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get more done. Like our free loaner tool program. You can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. Got more to do? We've got more for you to do it. Looking to protect your engine? Regular oil and oil filter changes are the best way to keep your engine running strong and running long. And if you're looking to do the job yourself, AutoZone can help. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Snap, hold, the kick is blocked. It's blocked, bounces over to the Clemson sideline. Christian Wilkins blocked it, and then it was scooped up by Mark Fields.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
This from the Falcoholic. Grady Jarrett would very much like to land a long-term deal, and as such, his team was reportedly hoping the defensive tackle would make it to the open market. Pre-ESPN's Vaughn McClure, that's not going to happen. The Falcons will do what we have come to expect in recent days, and they will franchise tag their rising star. It says this isn't an ideal outcome for either side. If it proves to be true, Jarrett would undoubtedly like to be paid more than the franchise tag is going to allow for and gain some long-term security out of a new deal, while the Falcons would have undoubtedly liked to have been more fiscal, would undoubtedly like to have more fiscal flexibility in 2019. That goes up in smoke with a $15.2 million tag. That leaves them even tighter in free agency than they would have expected to be, and it leaves Jarrett's camp to fight for what he's worth without the looming threat of a cash-flush market to parry Atlanta's offers with. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like the kissing your sister ending there. Not really what Grady Jarrett hoped for, and maybe not the best answer for Atlanta either. But, you know, I think he's at least going to be there. Let's go back to the Northland Communication phone lines and get, actually it's Steve and then Looper. Hold on, Looper. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Walt. I always enjoy the show.
Thank you, Steve.
And I just want to tell you, I've had a leak in my bedroom ceiling, a little place about 2 inches across that literally the sheetrock fell out. And so I called Gilstrap Roofing because of your show. And they when the guy came out, young guy, went up in my attic, crawled all over, got himself all messed up, came back down, walked outside, looked around, and said, look, you know, it's not your roof. You got this thing called a boot around the one of the pipes that comes out that air vents your plumbing system, and it's cracked. And so we can send somebody out here next week to fix that and to do a little inspection of the other stuff for a few $100s, and that's all you need. And I'm just shocked. And so I said, great. And they came out the next Monday, and they inspected my entire deal. They sealed all the stuff needed sealing. They put the new boot on that one. It was like $410 or something, and I was just, I couldn't believe that they didn't, you know, find something else, because I got a little hole in my roof in the bedroom.
Right.
But he said, hey, and if you want to call a handyman that can come out and do that little part of the sheetrock, don't pay somebody to come out and do this expensive stuff, because it's not very big.
Right.
And so very helpful and just very pleased, and it definitely did not take advantage of me, but I thought they were just very honest.
Thank you so much.
They did a great job.
Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate you taking the time to share that story. It means a lot.
All right. Good job.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad it all worked out for you. That's tremendous news. We like it when people experience and find exactly what we're saying. You know, a texter, Looper, I'm coming right to you. Texter writes, Walt, you're the best radio show on earth. Hashtag legit. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. Another texter writes, is a comp for Zion Sean Kemp in his prime? You know, that's interesting. You know, again, there is no true comp for Zion Williamson, but Sean Kemp is bad. Texter writes, Walt, there's nothing wrong with kissing your sister.
Oh, no.
Not in Alabama or West Virginia, at least. You know, but Kemp is interesting, because Kemp did have Zion Williamson explosiveness. He had that same level of explosiveness. Now, Kemp was even bigger, taller. He was 6'10". Now, he wasn't 285, but, well, I mean, he was later. He probably got up to 400. But in his prime, you know, he was probably like 6'10 and 250 and was one of the most ridiculous athletes I've ever seen. You know, now, Kemp didn't have the ability to put it on the floor like Zion does, and nor did he have the face-up game that Zion does, but that's a good name, Texter. That's a nice job. I like that, because, first of all, it's thinking outside the box, which I like, and it's a legitimate consideration. It's as good a name as anyone else has thrown out, because, again, as I said, there is no real Zion Williamson comp. There just isn't. Looper, how are you?
Yeah. I heard somebody this morning on this radio show, comes on around 6. I had to work today, so I popped it. And I heard somebody saying something, you pay somebody $2 million to call a timeout. I ain't worried about timeouts. I mean, the ball is carrying off. The man has to go get the ball. You know, he got down a little bit too quick with the call timeout. Nah. It sounded like he's making a slur about our general down there, Brian L. Well, I mean, we're going to stay with a man if we have to keep him here another 20 years.
Well, you know, again, everyone's entitled.
I look at it this way. Yeah. I look at it this way. Who are you going to get that knows basketball? I mean, if he wants to stay, let him stay. I mean, because, you know, he takes the 2 games, we'll be in there. Now we got Master Dabo. Boy, you know, first day of spring, you know, here we go on the spring kickoff. Dabo, boy, he was just smiling the other day. I saw this little interview, first day of practice. He was just smiling. Boy, I'm looking at Monkey Dingle. He looked like a man that's been constipated for 100 years. Or either that, he looks like death, looked like the angel of death is over his shoulder.
Oh, man.
The angel of death is over his shoulder.
I mean, anybody,
I want somebody to look. Tell me the difference. Nice. Who would you go play for? Man, it's like Dabo. He's a master. Upbeat. You get to play. You got to earn your job. Or you going to play with somebody that looks like an unmade-up bed. Always got a frown on his face. Like, you know, like he don't know. He's worried. He never cracked a smile. He's worried.
Angel of death.
Oh, Monkey Dingle, worried down there in that Coupe de Ville. You better get to worry, Mr. Monkey Dingle, because, oh, Angel of death, he's right behind you. Hey, boy, and now we got General Lee. Took a little setback yesterday.
Yeah, General Lee did take a little setback yesterday.
That's the first time we lost one of the last four series in a row. But you know, we still win in overtime. We still got them double digits in the victory column in baseball. I mean, there ain't nothing we behind in. Basketball might be pushing close to equal. But, you know, we dominate the baseball. So, you know, we had a little setback. He'll just regroup his troops up there in Richmond, and we'll be on the march again. We got the Tar Heels coming in here. Now we got Mac Brown. You know, after the little baddie call yesterday on Saturday, which, you know, didn't get to see this tape, you know, man, foul, we don't care, we lost. We're making a little pilgrimage to Chapel Hill, September the 28th, to welcome and have bringing a sign saying, Mackie is not back. We're going to carry a sign in there and on that little place in Chapel Hill. Say, Mackie is not back. And we could be putting us, we want to see maybe a 60-point beating on them that day, and we'll take it off here.
All right, Looper. Thank you, Looper. Who knew that Will Muschamp had the angel of death on his shoulder?
It looked like an unmade bed.
Angel of death on his shoulder. Who knew? You know, again, first of all, on the basketball issue, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't have any idea really what you're talking about or who you were talking about. But from a basketball standpoint, it was the right decision not to call timeout. It just was. It's exactly what you should do. That's where you have the advantage. It's a scramble situation. North Carolina had not gotten back on defense all game. You have senior guards. That's how you play that. Anything else is overcoaching in that situation. Anything else is overcoaching. So that was the right decision. It just didn't work. And I'm sorry, many times the right decision doesn't work, especially when the other side's better than you. You know, and again, Clemson played a brilliant basketball game against a really good team. I wrote this today, you know, and I've changed this a little bit. I dropped one. I dropped Nevada because I have no idea what's going on with Nevada right now. Nevada, that little scene the other day after that Utah State fiasco was embarrassing. And I don't know if there are going to be ramifications to that. So there's that. Here's what I wrote on Twitter earlier today. I think there are seven teams that win the NCAA tournament right now. Seven. Those seven teams are Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU, and Gonzaga. That's it. I'm dumping Nevada, and I just don't think Florida State is consistent enough. I think Florida State is close. I think if Florida State had one more shooter, they would be in this mix. I also wrote that I've dropped Nevada because of too much chaos and that FSU would be next on my list. And I think there are 25 teams that can win four games. There are 25 teams that can win four games. Winning six is different. I even think winning five is different. Like, for example, I'm almost of the opinion that in the right draw, Florida State might be able to win five. I don't trust them, but I think they have the talent to potentially win five. I still don't think they could win six. So, by the way, do I think that all these teams can legitimately win six? No. I mean, I don't I think there are teams on this list that I don't think will win six. But having said that, I think they could. And so that's why I included them. So fundamentally, I'm eliminating the rest of the country. Does everyone see that? I said this before. I don't believe in the Big Ten. I don't believe in the Big 12. I don't think either one of these leagues is any good. I mean, I'm looking at these Big Ten teams like Michigan and Michigan State. And look, there are some guards, which help. But I don't believe in the league. I certainly don't believe in Wisconsin in the Fighting Ethan Happs. And then you look out in the Big 12. I mean, you know, again, we're still propping up Oklahoma somehow artificially, despite their abysmal performance, another abysmal league season by Oklahoma. We're still somehow artificially propping them up. I mean, based on what? Who is the best team in the Big 12? If you can't identify one, then your league's not very good. And I think the best team in that league is Texas Tech. And if they're the best team in the league, then nobody from that league is advancing. I see three ACC teams. I see three SEC teams, and I see Gonzaga. I don't see anybody else that can win six games. The next closest, as I said, are probably Nevada and Florida State. There are lots of teams that could reach the Final Four. Buffalo could reach the Final Four. I absolutely believe Buffalo could reach the Final Four. Before we get a break, let me tell you about my friends at Earth Creations. You know, I went up to Traveler's Rest to visit with Donald and his family. Amazing state-of-the-art facility. I toured it. Manufacturing facility. Everything manufactured in the U.S. over 40 years experience. It's football fields and football fields big. I mean, I don't know how many football fields. Endless. It's just an amazing place. Even the lab is enormous. But I'm here today to talk to you about one product, Optinose. Clinically proven to increase your stamina, gain lean muscle, improve your overall physique. Our bodies naturally use only 10 to 25% of the protein we consume for muscle repair or for muscle building. With Optinose, you're using over 70% of the protein you consume will be used to repair muscle and develop muscle rather than just...